Well, let me welcome you back to Systematically Wild and have Kevin Lukel back here joining me this week, Kevin. And a slight turn down for the Minnesota Wild as a very good week for the Vegas Golden Knights gives them a little bit of an extended lead in the wild card standings. But I'd like to begin now with the ECHL team this week, Kevin, who come away with a sweep of the Wichita Thunder and three spectacular performances by the Joneses in goal.
Yeah, well, I think the weakness was probably the broadcasters for Wichita. I'm thinking that's the reason they lost.
At least I agree. Especially that commentator. He was horrible. He was absolutely horrible. So, for fans out there, this was just, if you didn't see these games, Peyton Jones was spectacular on Friday, made a bunch of great saves. Saturday was even better. Nearly had a shutout in the contest before Wichita was able to score late. And then Sunday, Hunter Jones, who's been, you know, kind of the, we're trying to figure out what Hunter Jones you're going to see on any night. He was very good, nearly had a shutout in that contest as well, scored on late there. But with Drew DeRitter moving up to the AHL, getting an opportunity there, I believe was, I can't remember exactly who he wound up signing with, but, you know, you're finally going to, yeah, I think you're right, yeah. They had an opportunity for both these guys to get in some time this week, and wow, spectacular performances out of the two goaltenders.
And now that it's down to two guys, maybe both are going to start seeing consistent work down the stretch, and we'll see some more good goaltending out of Hunter and Peyton.
Yeah, I'm hoping so, because, man, they were really good looking for this team. Rochester Americans, by the way, AHL club that Drew DeRitter signed with, so.
I mean, that's
what started with Friday night.
That's got to be tough when you got three goalies. And, you know, if you get one on a heater like DeRitter was on, then you've got two guys sitting around. It's a tough balance. I think sometimes it's hard enough keeping two guys fresh, much less three.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. So we'll start on Friday night. Johnny Sorensen scores his first goal of the season, 13:38 in the first period. Wichita able to tie it. Dylan Boucher scores his seventh goal of the season in the second. But a power play opportunity late in game, in the third period of Friday night's game. Wichita not happy about the penalty against Kuzmiski, but I thought it was a pretty legitimate slash. Pavel Novik scores his ninth goal of the season at 16:25 to give Iowa the victory. Peyton Jones stops 25 of 26 shots, including a couple of big clutch saves down in the last about 30 seconds of the game, one on a point-blank shot by Jay Dickman. So great performance by Peyton Jones. And, you know, for a weekend crowd kind of thing too, Kevin, is I really think you set the tone for the weekend when you can get a great goaltending performance and a big victory on your opening contest of the weekend.
You gotta set the tone, boys. You gotta set the tone.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. On Saturday, Peyton Jones is amazing as well. Brett Budgell scores 29 seconds into the second period on the power play to make it 1-0. Mikkel Stanell ties the game with his 29th goal of the season at 3:01 in the third on a great feed from Brandon Sajan to send him in on a breakaway. But Pavel Novik with two great goals on his 10th and 11th of the season, about 4 minutes apart, to give Iowa a 3-1 lead. Jason Pinio adds a late goal, 15:45, to make it a 3-2 contest. Peyton Jones stops 36 of 38 shots. He was not the first star in either contest, which I didn't really understand. But I thought Friday night he should have probably been it. But Pavel Novik winds up with, I think, both first stars, as a matter of fact. On night, because he had game winners in both games, and I think a lot of times, Kevin, when people are choosing that, the guy with the game-winning goal is always your hero.
Yeah, it's what I remember from being a Minnesota North Stars fan. We called it the Erie Herdina rule, because I remember a game where it was not even noticeable. It was a Pittsburgh-Minnesota regular season game, and then Erie Herdina got the game-winning goal, and then nobody else had stood out in the game, but like, well, you got the game-winning goal. So ever since then, I've called it the Yuri Herdina rule. Pavel Novak, though, it's a trying season for him. You know, coming back from, I believe he had quite a bit of time off, maybe a whole season from recovering from cancer or getting treatment. So I think Pavel's going to be an X factor, and it's good to see them scoring some goals for the Heartlanders. And I'm really curious to see where his trajectory takes him next year. If we're looking at Novak possibly being a regular in the AHL, or if he's going to be back with the ECHL, it'll be, you know, hopefully you hope he's getting ready to make it to the next level. But good to see him. Have a good weekend.
And, you know, one thing that I was really impressed by him about, first of all, I should say you're absolutely right. So he's coming back from cancer treatment after sitting out, I think it was a year. Is that what we're looking at? Yeah, I believe so. Since April 2022. In that Saturday contest, he took an early shot from Jason Pinio along the boards in front of the bench right there that sent him to the locker room to put a face shield on because he was kind of roughed up a little bit in the mouth area from that, and then comes and scores the second and third goals of the game in the third period. I thought, well, all right, good for you. You know, I mean, you shut that off, like, all right, I'm right back in the contest here, and winds up being the difference in the game. So good for him.
You know, that's the best kind of retaliation is putting the puck in the back of their net.
Absolutely. On Sunday, Iowa takes the lead 18-05 into the first when Liam Coughlin harmlessly throws a puck out in front from just a little bit away from directly behind the goal, winds up hitting off the back of Trevor Gorsuch and going in to give them a shorthanded goal to make it 1-0. Casey Dornbach scores 30 seconds into the second to make it 2-0. Mikael Stanelli got his 30th goal of the season at 18-13 to cut the deficit to 2-1, but Hunter Jones this time with a spectacular performance. He stops 24 of 25 shots. I do not believe he was the first star in that game either. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look that up, but I don't think he was. No, I don't think so. Wait a minute, wrong one. Here we go. Let's see if he was the first star for this, but I don't think he was. No, he wasn't. Yeah, second star for both, all three nights. The goalie was the second star, but hey, he'll take the victory, Kevin, with a big 24 save performance.
No doubt. I mean, him too. Also, it's been a trying season between injuries and inconsistent playing time. You know, it's hard for a goalie to get into a groove that way.
Absolutely. I do want to say, Kevin, that after Saturday night's game, that Jason Mals, the play-by-play guy for the Wichita Thunder, and I got to meet Peyton Jones' wife, Brenda, I believe was her name, and very nice young lady, and beaming, obviously, after her husband's spectacular performance for the second straight night. But she was happy to talk with Jason, Penn State stuff, since they were both Penn State alumni.
I was going to ask you if it was just pretty much a Nittany Lion pep rally there.
It was. I just kind of stood around and listened to them talk for like 10 minutes about all kinds of stuff related to Penn State. And said, okay, we can leave now. So nothing like being the odd man out in the conversation. So there you go.
When it came in the NCAA basketball tournament this year, like Grand Canyon State.
Exactly right. So you know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, in the Central now, the Heartlanders at 26-29-8, 60 points, just 2 points behind Cincinnati in this race out there. 9 points behind Fort Wayne. You're probably not looking at fifth place, but you had a legitimate shot of chasing down Cincinnati at this point. The team will travel to Kansas City on Wednesday, and then have Friday and Saturday against the Mavericks there as well. Not a real good matchup. I mean, it's bad enough you have to face Toledo, but Kansas City is just brutal right now. Best team in the ECHL, having a spectacular year. Great group of people sent down from the NHL, AHL club, I should really say. But the Seattle Kraken, I think, are the Kansas City Monarchs organization. No, wait a minute. No, and I think either Seattle or Calgary. Seattle or Calgary. Which is Kansas City's NHL affiliate? Is it Seattle or Calgary?
Dan, I'm not sure, but I know you think it's Kansas City Monarchs, and that should be like a...
Did I really say that? Oh, you got me with that one. Mavericks on that one. So, very tough team that they're going to be facing out there, Kevin. But you know, these Heartlanders coming off a big sweep, they got to have some confidence, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, at this stage of the season, I mean, a goal would be to finish out of the cellar, but I just think you're going to see a team that's playing loose. You know, you've got some young guys in the system now with Perbix and Sorensen that are playing professional hockey for the first time in their careers, that maybe they want to show a little something for next year. And you know, this is an opportunity for them.
I agree with you completely, Kevin. Moving up to the AHL team, the Iowa Wild have a nice two-game sweep over Chicago that moves them ahead of the Wolves in the standings. We'll come back to looking at standings here in just a minute, but 2-1 victory on Friday in a shootout, then they come away with a 4-1 victory on Saturday, dominating both those games. As you and I are talking right now, with a little over 14 minutes left in the third, they are beating Milwaukee 3-2. I guess there's some life for this team right now. So not completely eliminated, but not very many games left here, Kevin.
No, you know, it's been a pretty decent stretch for them, especially, you know, getting three in a row against the Chicago Wolves and leading this one tonight so far. But a little too late.
Yeah, right now I think you're right.
About the whole team created in November, December, January, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, and it's something that you have said many times on both our podcasts, that I know everybody puts the emphasis on, you know, February, March games and stuff like that, but those ones in you know, October, November, they matter a lot, and those were the things that put the Wild in a hole early on, and sometimes you just don't get out of those things.
No, you don't. You know, eventually the math just doesn't work out so well, and I think that's what we're seeing with this Iowa team. You know, I was trying to do the math and figure out what they could do to catch Manitoba, who has struggled as of late, but it's just too big of a hole right now. I just, barring a complete collapse by Manitoba, I just don't see Iowa being able to catch them.
Well, on Friday night, before nearly 6,000 fans, it is Chicago jumping out to a 1-0 lead, 9:37 into the contest. But with 20 seconds left in the first, Simon Johansson scores his eighth goal of the season. That is the only two goals of regulation. That forces it all the way through overtime, where neither team is able to come up with a goal. But in the shootout, Sammy Walker scores the only goal of that. Jesper Wallstedt was very solid in this game, stops 23 of 24 shots. The team really needed him if they're going to make any kind of run, Kevin. I mean, he's obviously the center of that, because they got to have a great performance out of every night, and he looked very good this weekend.
I think that with Wallstedt, too, I'm sure in his own mind he wants to string a bunch of good games together to tell the parent club, hey, you know, give me a look down the stretch.
On Saturday, Kevin, Caden Bankier scores on the power play, 17:45 into the contest. That holds through the first two periods of the game. Chicago able to tie the score, 3:59 into the third, but then it is all Iowa after that. Michael Milne scores his fourth goal of the season. They add a Luke Toporowski goal, his 10th of the season, and then the empty net shorthanded goal to close out the scoring. 4-1 Iowa victory. Jesper Wallstedt, 32 saves in the game, Kevin.
And that was one of the craziest empty net goals you're going to see. Stephen Fogarty shot it from his own end, hits the post, and it's just laying out there. And Mikey Milne just gets to, he was the first player to it, and got pretty much the easiest empty net goal you can imagine, just having to tap, tap, tap it in.
As Kevin and I are talking right now, with 13:03 left in the third, Milwaukee has tied the score at 3. Right now, I do not think that we will be able to talk about this game before our show ends here this evening. But you never know. We'll see if we wind up getting to that point. But 3-3, if they can hold on and still come away with the victory in this game, Kevin, that'd be a nice stretch to win four games in a row here, as the team will travel to Texas on Friday and Saturday. We know we never like the Texas series because somehow or another Matthew Murray gets dragged into that, and that's never a good thing. Iowa right now, Kevin, 23-33-5, 51 points. They are 7 points behind Manitoba with 10 games, well, 11 counting tonight, left in the standings, left for the season, I should say.
Yeah, it just seems like it's just going to be a little late for a playoff chase. And that, you know, it's unfortunate. But, you know, it was not meant to be. And, you know, Texas, maybe you're at the right time. Texas has struggled as of late. It looks like Logan Stankoven has himself firmly in the Dallas Stars lineup now, so that's one less weapon you got to deal with going down there. So, who knows?
Very true. 1-1-1 for the Minnesota Wild this week, Kevin. A 4-0 victory over Anaheim on Tuesday. They lose 6-0 to the Kings on Wednesday, and then drop a 5-4 overtime game to St. Louis at home on Saturday.
I am perplexed. You know, the Anaheim game was a very workmanlike win. But then they got pumped 6-2 in Los Angeles. Granted, there were some bad hops. And you're playing without Brodin, you're playing without Eriksson Ek. But Matt Zuccarello actually had the nerve to say they played a pretty good game. I don't understand the logic there. You didn't score a goal, even if you had some unfortunate ones go in. You still did not score a goal. How can that equate to a good game ever?
I guess it's depending on whatever standard you think.
And in a big game like that, I mean, yeah. LA's a team that could hop into a wild card spot, and they lost 6-0. Came back. I thought they played pretty well against St. Louis, but I think mistakes cost them in the end. And over time, there was a sequence where the puck was down the St. Louis end. Jordan Binnington was going to freeze the puck. Matt Boldy decides to just skate by him instead of skate up to him. So Binnington played the puck, and about 10 seconds later, it was in back of Minnesota's net.
The mistake of a young player, that's for sure.
I think that was probably the death blow, was the loss. They needed to get a win against St. Louis. Now Vegas has caught up to Minnesota in games played and have an 8-point lead. And I think, without saying it, I believe the Wild will pretty much have to throw the towel in now.
Yeah, you may be right about that. And so what's before we kind of move on and talk about the closing out here and where the team looks at, let's quickly go through each of the games here, Kevin. On Tuesday, it is 0-0 through the first period. Ryan Hartman scores his 18th goal of the season, 35 into the second. John Merrill and Kirill Kaprizov score as well. Kaprizov's 36th of the season in the second. Jacob Lucchini adds his second of the year to make it 4-0. Gustafson looked very good in this contest, Kevin. 27 saves. Just a very solid performance. Like you talked about, a very workmanlike performance. Matt Boldy with 2 assists in that game. Hartman with a goal and an assist. Adam Beckman coming up there to get a little time with the big club winds up getting his second assist of the year. So there was a lot of very positive things to think about there, especially heading into back-to-back nights. And unfortunately, they come away with nothing on Wednesday. And it's like, I get night and day between Anaheim and Los Angeles. I'm not trying to say these opponents are the same, but I thought that they would have carried some of that momentum into Wednesday night's game. It just didn't look that way.
And keep in mind, it was equal footing. Los Angeles had also played on Tuesday night, so you know both teams were in a back end of a back-to-back, so, I mean, throw that alibi out the door. But it's just, I get it. I know Brodin is a leader on the team, but it just seemed like it was like, well, we don't have him, we're screwed. And that just does not play well in the NHL.
Los Angeles scores 3 goals in the first and second periods of this game. Marc-Andre Fleury gives up 5 goals on 16 shots. As you pointed out, though, you know, some of them were just bad bounces or angles or whatever. So you can't really fault the veteran for a tough night there, I thought.
No, not at all.
Let's jump to Saturday's game, Kevin. 1-0 St. Louis after 1. Minnesota gets 2 goals. Marcus Johansson and Marco Rossi score to make it 2-1. St. Louis ties the game, but Rossi scores his 20th of the season to put Minnesota back on top again. St. Louis responds with 2 goals to take the lead before Brock Faber scores his 7th of the season to make it 4-4, sending the game into overtime. That's where St. Louis gets the game winner, 2:05 into the extra session. Not just a crusher because you gave up 2 points to one of the team ahead of you, but coming away with only 1 out of that on home ice, and you got a game you just honestly look at and think that this is a playoff game right now. I agree with you, Kevin. I looked at this and just thought, okay, the season's over.
And you've had a stew on it for like 4 days now. They have not played since Saturday. I want to say, too, on Jordan Kyrou, who has become like Brett Hull whenever he plays against Minnesota. On his hat-trick goal, I mean, he skated right by Zuccarello. Zuccarello, all he did was try to poke-check the puck. Didn't try to play the body, didn't try to defend the shot. I mean, it was just real bad optics from someone that came out the game before in a 6-0 loss and claimed they played a good game in that. We thought we played good, but I know you guys know more than we do, referring to the media, so come on.
Well, glad you thought so. Kevin, San Jose Sharks come to town on Thursday, Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday. As you mentioned right now, as you and I are talking at this particular time, 8 points behind Vegas for that final playoff spot. If you don't win against San Jose and you don't win against Vegas on Saturday, I would honestly say you're done. I mean, that the season is over.
Well, I know it's going to be nearly impossible, but I don't know if they can afford to hiccup more than twice the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And even might not get the job done.
Yep. I mean, think about it. If you were to win 11 games they have right now, I mean, that would be an impressive 99 points, okay? But all Vegas has to do to beat you with their 11 games is go like 6-2-3, which isn't very hard for that team, and they still beat you out. You know, I mean, you could win every game, and all they have to do is win, you know, basically 6 of their 11 games and get a few ties in there, and they're the team. So, very tough to overcome right now at this point.
And, you know, as we're kind of giving an autopsy of Iowa's season, I think a lot of it applies to Minnesota, too, where you look at the poor start, winning 5 out of the first 16 games, costing Dean Evason his job. Then you look at the stretch after Kaprizov got hurt around New Year's, where I believe they lost like 7 games in a row or had 8 without a win. Then you had those 2 games right before the All-Star break. You give up a 3rd period lead to Nashville, and then you drop a game to Anaheim, of all teams, and come back right after the All-Star break, and then you lose at home against Buffalo. Those are the games where the season was lost. And it wasn't lost on an overtime goal on a Saturday afternoon in March. But the team put itself in a position in which there was no room for error.
Right. Exactly right. Well, Kevin, before we go around the rest of the NHL and just talk about some stuff, I just want to jump back to the ECHL club. I was telling Kevin this before the show because I thought that this was probably the silliest thing that I saw this weekend. And so for the person out there, if he ever hears this, who's in charge of playing music at these games, during the game, the Wichita Thunder on Saturday are down by a goal with about 40-45 seconds left in the contest. They pulled their goaltender. So for the 6-on-5, they've got to draw inside the Iowa Heartlanders, and they call a timeout so that everybody's over there at the bench. And the music that the guy is playing over the speaker there to hear in the stadium is AC/DC's Thunderstruck, which is what the Thunder used for their theme song. And I thought, are you cheering for the Thunder now? So just quick message out to the person, you know, pay attention to what the scenario is in the game before we start playing stuff. That's my word of the day for you.
I think Kevin, we remiss to bring up the Minnesota winning Riley Height on Saturday and Jack Peart on Tuesday afternoon to a 3-year entry-level deals that will begin next year. Both Peart and Height were second-round picks. So Height's a forward who's had a tremendous season in juniors, and Peart just came off his junior season with St. Cloud State, where reports were he's become a pretty complete player. So Peart will be likely starting in Iowa next season, which is going to start making for a real crowded blue line there. You wonder if Iowa or the Wild organization would consider moving one or two of the defensemen on to try to get some help in other parts of the lineup. And Height will, because he's only 18, the deal is next season, he'll be able to play 9 games with Minnesota if he makes the team. And at that point, they'll have to decide whether he'll go back and play juniors or if he'll stick with the Minnesota club. Because of his age, he cannot play AHL. So that'd be the deal with the two guys that are the Wild recent signs. So slowly but surely, we're starting to see the future of the next wave of young stars coming over and getting their feet with the Wild organization. So, you know, better days are ahead.
And the future looks bright. Yeah, I was going to say, you got to agree with that there. So I like to hear that. Well, Kevin, let's quickly look around here. So this East is just crazy. So Boston won tonight. They are now 2 points ahead of Florida in the Atlantic Division, 99 points for Boston, 97 for Florida. That's just crazy. The Rangers won tonight. They have 100 points. Carolina right behind them, 97. They played one more game than New York, while Florida has played one fewer game than Boston. I mean, that's very, very tight races. Both teams playing, especially the Rangers and Carolina, playing incredible hockey right now. Hasn't been as true for Florida and Boston, who are struggling a little bit down the stretch here, allowing New York to catch them. Is New York the best team in the East right now?
It's hard to say. I mean, maybe they're the flavor of the week right now, but, you know, it's been so crazy out there that you'll get another team that goes on a heater. And look, even the Washington Capitals got hot all of a sudden and are still poking around the wild card chase. But as a fan, boy, I want to see somehow Boston and Florida finish second and third, and I don't think it can happen, but boy, how fun would it be to have Boston and Florida in the first round again after the series last season?
Yeah, that would take a major collapse for Toronto to get ahead of them. But well, that'd be something. And they, you know, couldn't face each other in the second round of these playoffs here too, potentially, I guess, depending on how things work out here. But, I mean, great road records, great home records for these teams. The goal differentials are amazing. Florida's even better. I mean, I'm impressed at that. Only 177 goals allowed by this team this season. I didn't really think their goaltending was that great coming into the year, but boy, they sure have shocked me out there. And you can't ignore Carolina either, Kevin. I mean, this is a very good team as well. So impressive Eastern Conference, I just think.
And they got Freddie Anderson back, so I think Carolina's goaltending is starting to stabilize a bit. The young guy whose name escapes me right now, the young Russian that had a great year for them, is between him and Freddie Anderson. I think you're setting the nets for Carolina, so the rest of the team looks strong. I can see the Kane's going on a pretty good run. But, you know,
staying in that, go ahead.
I don't know why there are so many complaints about the playoff format. Because generally, we're seeing like a number one overall seed is playing the second wildcard team, and it's still a, 9 times out of 10, it's a really good matchup. But the parity in the NHL, I don't think it matters what you do as far as what your playoff format is. You're going to face a tough team in the first round.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what? You're keeping more teams involved for the playoff run, and you're not losing anything out of doing that. I honestly think it's that a number eight can a lot of times beat a number one team in a seven-game series, and it's not because number one teams are weak. It's because number eight teams are darn good. You know, I mean, they're, I mean, just think, like, you're talking about the Washington Capitals right now. Okay, I could look at some like, blemishes to them. 26 goals is under five, under, they've given up more than they've scored. Okay, but 7-3-0 in their last 10, won three games right now in a row. If this team faces somebody, you just never know, because you still got, you know, some of the, an incredible veteran team that has name value to it. These guys know how to win games. So if they knocked off Boston or New York, you might look at that and go, wow. But then you might look at it also and go, well, okay, I kind of figured they could do that. So it wouldn't be a shocker to me if that happened.
No, not at all.
Philadelphia is the interesting team to me, Kevin, because this team, you know, was so terrible the last few years. I mean, just goaltending was bad and just never seemed to be getting anything. There's nobody on this team that I was just thinking is really was kind of a centerpiece that you were building around. But they're hanging on to the third record in this division right now. And, you know, I don't expect them to do anything major, but nice turnaround for the Flyers.
Well, it's a John Tortorella team. You know, it's a very lunchbox type of team that, you know, you're playing for a coach that demands a lot out of you, and if you find yourself loafing for a night, you're going to end up in the press box. So, I you know, I pin a lot of the change in the philosophy in Philadelphia to John Tortorella.
Heading out to the West, Kevin. 97 points for Colorado, 97 points for Dallas, 93 for Winnipeg. I mean, talk about this division. It's just crazy. Right here, 9 victories in a row for Colorado, 4 victories in a row for Dallas. Winnipeg kind of slumping right now with 3 straight losses. But Dallas-Colorado down the stretch looks like that's going to be an exciting race to see who's the top team.
It will, and it's... So what's going to be the gift for the team that finishes in first place? You're either going to face a Nashville team that is barely taking the Shoresy route when it comes to hockey and they'll never lose again, or you get to face a defending Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, not much bonus for you, I would say. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you have Vancouver that's probably going to finish with the top record, who's just red hot too, 7-2-1 in their last 10. That's going to be an Edmonton Oilers team that, let's remember, won 16 games in a row at one point. Okay, that's the number two team in that division. Los Angeles on a hot streak right now, Kevin. 4 victories in a row. Nashville, 5 victories in a row and 8-0-2 in their last 10. Vegas on a 3-game winning streak right now. It's just like, the difference between number 1 and 8 in these playoffs is so marginal at this point, I think, now that right now, with the exception of Philadelphia, I give no credence to right now, and I don't think Washington is going to where I think 14 of the 16 current teams could be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, a lot of them have a claim as to why they should. And I think when you talk about those teams in the Central, Jets, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota has not beat any of those teams this season. Nashville, they got the one overtime win against. Will you see how good the teams are that are going to make up the Western Conference field? As a Wild fan, you kind of get depressed. You're thinking, well, would we have really had a good chance against any of these teams? And that's when you start thinking, well, you know, we may have a ways to go here.
Yeah. At the bottom of the thing here, Kevin, it looks like San Jose is completely given up at this point. Beaten twice by Chicago recently, that puts the Blackhawks 5 points ahead of them. San Jose is going to have the most balls in the drawing for the top pick in the NHL. Not to be a conspiracy theorist, but I think it's really unlikely they get that pick.
I thought it was funny on Saturday night, San Jose and Chicago played out in San Jose, and Sharks jumped out to a 4-0 lead, and then kind of started to remember, wait a minute. We're up against this team for the number one overall pick. What the heck are we doing here? And then they proceeded to give up 5 goals to the Blackhawks and lose.
And that's exactly how it happened, too. I mean, it really looked like a team that thought to themselves, what are we doing? We want to give ourselves the best chance possible. I think even if they finish with the bottom record, though, they are not going to get that pick. Call me a conspiracy theorist, Kevin, but San Jose having the flashy, new, incredible number one pick just doesn't seem to be in the NHL's PR interest, in their opinion.
Then what is the interest right now with San Jose and the NHL? Because really, you look at, if you watch a game from out there, there's not a lot of people going to the games.
No.
Nope. But if you're not going to give them a number one overall pick to start trying to build a team around, what are you trying to do then?
See, I feel that way about, go ahead, I'm sorry.
There's just no direction, and but boy, a guy like a Macklin Celebrini, that's someone that maybe you start building around him. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's not happening right away with Chicago. But in time, maybe you've got something going in San Jose and can rebuild that franchise. Because, boy, that market is dead for hockey right now.
Yeah. And see, that's my biggest concern about that, Kevin, is that not only is the NHL team in the tank here, but the AHL team, both in San Jose, they're also in dead last. Okay, and I think, do they have the second worst record? Yeah, tied for the second worst record in the AHL. And you got to start questioning pretty soon, and if you don't start having opportunities for these franchises in general to get better, why are you even putting a team in San Jose? If you're not going to support them as a league and go, well, we want them to legitimately have as much of a chance to thrive as a Detroit or a Boston or whatever, then it's time to get out of business of running a league at that point. Because San Jose wants fans too, and they want a great experience for fans. And right now, there's nothing to be excited about the San Jose organization.
Yeah, if you're relatively new to hockey within the last few years, you're not going to believe that San Jose once sold out every home game.
Right. Absolutely right.
But on a market that can withstand rebuilding.
One last story for you this week, Kevin. Arizona Coyotes deciding to stay a couple more years, it looks like, playing at Arizona State University. Still hoping to get that new brown downtown ball ice rink down there. I want to see Arizona thrive, and I hope that franchise is able to succeed there. But is it time to start talking about what happens if we don't get a stadium here?
Well, it sounds like the land that they want to build an arena on is up for auction. So I think they'll know by June whether they won that auction and can proceed with getting a new arena built. But if you don't win that auction, boy, that's about the time where these rumors of the Coyotes going to San Jose or Houston are going to really start heating up. It sounds like, I'm sorry, not San Jose, but Salt Lake City and Houston. And I'd put a lot more credence in them potentially going to Salt Lake City than I would Houston at this point, because it sounds like the Houston Rockets owner doesn't have a ton of interest in bringing a team to Houston. And then meanwhile, yeah, Salt Lake City, I mean, they're now with Seattle doing well in the Northwest, like that, you got to imagine there's your instant rivalry with a team up there and the Kraken. And it seems like once talk did get going about the Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City, that's when the Coyotes started going in the tank this year.
For real. Before Kevin and I close out, the Iowa Wild do fall in overtime here tonight, 4-3. They had a 3-1 lead after two periods, but give up two goals in the third and then an overtime game winner. So,
was defending that player and just flat out fell down and just created a 1-on-0 against the goalie. Want to say it was Damon. I'm not totally sure on that, but wow. Just a horrible time for that.
So that will, that was a costly point to not gain, but, you know, you're still getting the point out of it. So better than nothing. Kevin Loco, thanks for joining me this week.
My pleasure.